It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, renewable energy is usually a cause taken up by progressives and environmentalists. But the president of the Wisconsin Solar Energy Industries Association is actually a conservative. We'll hear his pitch to the GOP for greener energy in the state.
First, news about how Wisconsin's public schools are doing. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction released the state's report card for the 2013-2014 academic year today.
In the report, 88% of schools and 98% of districts either met or exceeded expectations. Only one school district got the ranking of failed to meet expectations, Milwaukee Public Schools. Here with us now to talk about the report, we have Milwaukee Journal Sentinel education reporter Aaron Richards. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So, big picture, does this report show an improvement or a decline compared with the previous years?
You know, they've had these report cards now for about 3 years for schools and 2 years for districts. And overall, we're seeing about what we saw in the last couple of years, and that is that almost everybody is doing pretty good. Milwaukee has some big challenges. Most of those stem from poverty. And for the most part, we're getting to see some other measures to help us see some things in schools we didn't know as well before, such as some growth scores, seeing how schools can move kids along when those kids stay with that school over a period of time. But for the most part, it's still a bit limited because we mostly know that higher income schools do better than lower income schools.
So before we dig into where there are problems and highlights, what criteria does this annual report card use to measure the schools?
Well, it's good to know what we had before, which was a system that looked at schools under the looked at their annual progress under the No Child Left Behind law. That was a federal law, and it only looked at how well schools did each year in having kids be proficient in reading and math. That's a pretty limited picture. What the report cards do is that they open the door to looking at some wider measures. So they're looking at student achievement, but they're also looking at how well schools close achievement gaps. And how well they're preparing kids for post-secondary readiness. So for high schools, you know, they're trying to incorporate measures like ACT scores. You know, down the road, we'll put more of these in there. And then you're also looking at things like attendance. Are kids actually coming to school to learn?
So it's a more nuanced view than the old system, it sounds like. Or that's the goal, anyway.
It is, and for parents in the community, these are one-page snapshots for the schools. They have a rating. Each school is rated on a kind of a five-point scale or a five-rating scale from significantly exceeds expectations to fails to meet expectations. Every school and district, for the most part, gets a score from 0 to 100. And so they're easier for people to look at, but also because there's more measures available, it can also kind of make your head spin if you're not sure what you're looking at.
And is this something that, in terms of accountability, if a school is in the failing zone, is there an idea of punitive measures, cuts in funding, as there was talk of some years back?
Well, the state has tried to get away from that a little bit. Of course, schools have to be held to some kind of standard because we want schools to continue to perform and do good things for kids. What I think makes people nervous is when you say, okay, well, if you're failing, we're going to cut off all your funding. For the most part, we still know that schools that struggle the most are often, not always, but often in really high poverty communities that are unstable and that have a lot of challenges. So essentially cutting off the funding stream to a school that's already high poverty may not be the best solution. What the state is trying to do is some more nuanced programs. So, for example, the state is trying to recognize schools that show high growth instead of just giving awards out every year to schools that are high achieving. We know districts like Whitefish Bay and Mequon-Thiensville are going to be districts that are higher achieving every year. The state is also trying a program that pairs up principals from schools that struggle and higher achieving schools, or schools that are performing well in a certain area, and trying to have those principals mentor each other and talk about things like leadership development. So it's more of a nuanced way of getting at improvement rather than sort of hitting everybody with a big stick if they don't make the grade on these report cards.
Well, there's been talk about Milwaukee Public Schools for a lot of years, and in this case it's the one district that failed to meet the expectations. What were some of the main problem areas that made the district fall short in this particular report card?
Well, certainly just overall achievement is a perennial problem. That would be achievement from the state tests every year in reading and math. The district also acknowledged that a big area that it lost points in is absenteeism, meaning student absenteeism, students not coming to school. On these report cards, you have to meet a minimum level of requirements in some areas to get all of the points that add up to that 100, you know, the points that add up on the 100-point scale. So, for example, you have to have at least 95% of your kids take the state test, because you could conceivably get a higher score if you only tried to have your higher-achieving students take the test. So test participation is one. So is student absenteeism. So the district said, hey, you know, we recognize we have an issue here. We would have scored better overall if we could, you know, do something about our student absenteeism issue. So that's something I think they're taking a look at as well.
And moving to the rest of the state, while a lot of districts, most districts met or exceeded expectations, there has been a lot of concern about achievement gaps. You mentioned that earlier. Do we have a sense yet of how Wisconsin schools in general did when it came to that category, achievement gaps between whites and African Americans in particular?
We haven't broken down all of that new data yet. All of the numbers just came out today, so myself and a lot of other people are still digging into a lot of this stuff. Even from last year's report cards, there has been a renewed, or at least a kind of a greater interest in this area. There's been a task force meeting since last year about this achievement gap, and it's often one that you don't see it as prominently in suburban schools where the predominant student population is white. So those, the scores of white middle-income students automatically overshadow the scores of lower-income or students of racial minorities. And so there are a lot of people looking at that achievement gap right now, and there should be some more data coming out soon about that gap over time, and I suspect you'll start to hear people talk about it this week. I know the state superintendent, Tony Evers, is even coming over to the newsroom this week to talk about that very issue.
And that Superintendent Evers also posted a YouTube message about this report, and he put a little qualifier on it. He said this doesn't include things like art, music, technology. So while there's been this move to a more careful approach to rating schools, he says, hey, there's still stuff that doesn't show up here.
That's right. These report cards still don't reflect everything that I think a lot of people would find important in a school. There are even some schools in the report cards that have failing scores. Even in Milwaukee that I've been to, they're good schools. Kids are graduating. They're going to college. They're getting scholarships. And because of some of the way the measurements work out, it just doesn't make them look as good on paper, even though they might be doing pretty good things for most of their student population in real life. But Evers really told everyone, you know, hey, these are not meant to be used as a punishment tool. We're trying to separate schools so we can see who's doing well in what areas. So it gives us more measures to look at. And frankly, you know, if you want to know more about your school, go inside the door, take a look, look at what they have to offer beyond just what's showing up on this one-page report.
Yeah, this has been going on for years, maybe decades, trying to find a way to objectively measure school performance. And it seems like we're still working on that, even with this qualifier from the superintendent of education on his own report card. When you talk to people at schools, do you get the feeling that they say, oh, great, report card, uh-huh, and then get back to the real work? Or is this something that they really use as part of their toolkit to figure out what they're doing?
I think that response would be determined by who you're talking to. I suspect that a lot of teachers might glance at this and say, okay, well, I get it, but, you know, I'm really focused on what I'm doing in my classroom every day. In the upper levels of administration, I certainly think there's more pressure on where your school falls every year and what this report card looks like. I think that the question is still out there about whether this is helping schools improve. You know, what's my question today to the State Department of Public Instruction was, what practical effect has this actually had on schools? After 3 years of doing this, can we show that this is helping anybody improve? And I think the jury's still out a little bit on that. I think leaders are still trying to figure out, okay, what do I do now that I know this? It probably tells me some information I already knew about my school, but what do I do with it now? And how do I get other tools or extra help or assistance in some way to improve if that's what, you know, I need to do to get my score up?
And in addition to this report card, are we still using other measures? Do we still see other evaluations, either within districts or statewide?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think part of the concern among teachers anyway is that we're in such an era of big data that it's largely what they're focusing on these days. You'll hear a lot of teachers say that they wish that there wasn't quite so much testing and focus on the data, because it's actually taken away from some of the time they had in classrooms to simply instruct and let kids be creative. There's a new test out and new scores out for even really young kids. It's a literacy screener that is given to kindergarten children to determine where they're at in terms of their letter awareness and pre-reading skills. There are new tests that most schools administer 3 times a year now to see how students progress over the course of the year. And then there's the actual state achievement tests, and those are going to be administered online for the first time this year, which is a whole new learning curve for everyone. So there's certainly just enormous amounts of data out there that we're collecting and then trying to synthesize in this effort to try to improve schools.
Well, thanks for helping make sense of this, Erin.
Thank you.
That's Erin Richards. She's education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the new Wisconsin Public School report cards out today for the 2013-14 academic year.